Small cars, big company.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. You know about Fiat's deal with Chrysler. Today, we learn the Italian carmaker is also in talks to take over GM's European division. Stephen Beard joins us from London. Stephen, is this a new European car giant in the making?
Indeed, if this comes off, this will be a super group, to put it mildly. Annual revenues, more than $100 billion a year. Annual sales between 6 and 7 million cars. That would catapult Fiat up into the stratosphere just behind Toyota and alongside Volkswagen.
It may be a super group, but we certainly have learned that big does not equal successful. How wise is this build-up?
Well, indeed. But Fiat reckons that this new group, if it comes off, could save more than $1 billion a year. Ultimately, though, this is about size. I mean, the cost of launching a new model today in the car industry is more than $1 billion. So the argument runs car companies have really got to be big to handle that kind of investment. And the boss of Fiat, Sergio Marchionne, says that when the current economic crisis is over, when the dust has settled, the world will end up with about 6 or 7 big global car companies. And he certainly seems to be determined to make sure that Fiat is one of them.
These GM talks are so far just talks. How sure a thing is this deal?
Well, there clearly are going to be quite a lot of regulatory hurdles on the way. Fiat meets with German government officials this afternoon to make the case for the deal, and they'll be talking soon to the UK government about Vauxhall here in Britain. It helps Fiat that we're in the middle of a major downturn in the car market. Governments do seem to accept that some sort of consolidation is inevitable and some job losses too. So, yes, it is possible that this deal, extraordinary as it is, could clear all the hurdles.
Stephen Beard in London, thank you.
Okay, Bill.
President Obama is set to announce a controversial new tax plan today. For one thing, he would eliminate some of the deductions companies get for officially earning their profits in the Bahamas or the Cayman Islands or some other place with a low tax rate. Businesses are sure to oppose the plan in Congress. Small businesses will be glad to hear credit is about to get easier. The Small Business Administration will start making loans to companies that used to be too big to qualify. From the Entrepreneurship Desk at Oregon Public Broadcasting, Mitchell Hartman reports.
70,000 more businesses are now eligible for government-guaranteed bank loans. That's because the upper limits on net worth and annual income have been raised temporarily, which will allow one particular group to qualify. Eric Zarnikow is with the SBA.
Clearly, there's an impact or a benefit to the auto dealers, RV dealers, auto suppliers.
Most car dealers make way more income than the typical small business, so under the old rules, they didn't qualify for SBA loans. And right now, many need those loans, says Mike Martin. He owns 2 GM dealerships in Manassas, Virginia.
I think the real fear that a lot of dealers have is availability of credit. That is probably what keeps most of us up at night.
Dealers have been squeezed hard by the credit crunch. They need to borrow to buy the vehicles on their car lots. And Martin says, although thousands of dealerships may close as GM and Chrysler restructure, the ones that survive will have to upgrade and retool. And they'll need ready access to credit for that as well. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Major European markets are up 1% or more this morning. Asian markets soared more than 5% today. The Dow will be coming off another gain from Friday. It was up 44 points to 8,212. 2 of the Boston Globe's unions say they have reached agreements this morning that might save the paper. The Globe's owner, the New York Times Company, has said it will close the paper unless it gets $20 million in union concessions. The unions say a tentative agreement was reached around 4:30 this morning.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thriven Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thriven.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
We've been hearing for decades how the Great Plains states have been losing industries and population. Well, one small town in Nebraska aims to turn that around. Alex Schmidt tells us how.
The town of Ord is smack in the middle of Nebraska. It has a population of just 2,200. But here at a local convenience store, there are about 20 racks filled with magazines and brochures promoting tourism around the region. There are pictures of teenagers jet skiing on a scenic river. You can read an article about the historic fort in Ord and learn about their quaint town square. Caleb Pollard, director at the Ord Chamber of Commerce, says these days a $60 all-inclusive wine tasting near Ord is more attractive to big city folks than that two-week holiday in Europe.
It's quirky and it's different, too. I mean, how many people can say that they went out and went wine tasting in the sandhills of central Nebraska?
But tourism can only bring in so many dollars. One of the real challenges to a community like this is population decline and brain drain. Ord has created incentives for new businesses, like leasing land for just a dollar an acre. And the town has a network to let people know, using email newsletters, a blog, even a Facebook page.
You know, out of sight, out of mind, inside in mind type of thing.
25-year-old Luke Kavorek left Ord for college, and those newsletters convinced him to move back. Many of his friends are considering doing the same, but there's one thing holding them back. Not enough women.
I know, like one kid, and he wants to move to Ord in the worst way, but he's going to stay in Omaha until he finds a girl and then try and move back.
It could take a while before people like Kavorek move to Ord en masse. Will Lamb has studied small-town innovation at the University of North Carolina. He says the time it takes can vary widely.
To me, it depends on what the asset that the community is trying to leverage for economic development is and how easy is it to turn that asset into some real value.
Lamb says it took several decades for Branson, Missouri to turn itself into a country music mecca, but it took just a couple of years for the town of Scotland Neck in North Carolina to reimagine itself as an outdoor recreation destination. In Ord, Nebraska, I'm Alex Schmidt for Marketplace.
So how do you plan to thrive amid the fallout? Let us know when you visit us online at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.